أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. ولعنة الله على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى لقاء يوم الدين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك وإن لم تفعل فما بلغت رسالته والله يعصمك من الناس إن الله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, honorable viewers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, God willing, we are going to touch two fundamental doubts that have been raised against the Shi'ites. But prior touching this important topic, let's have an overview of what we have said yet about leadership and about the theories which exist about the successorship to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. So this overview would help us truly understand the development of theological in political theories that exist about Imama and Caliphate. As it was said, the Shi'ites do favor wholeheartedly with their whole existence the theory of selection, the theory that believes that the Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, in his household was ordered to choose and determine his successor. And this successorship to the Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, was something that was ordered by Almighty Allah. Almighty Allah, in this verse of the Holy Quran, explicitly says and orders our Holy Prophet to convey this message of mine to the people. Otherwise, if you do not do so, it is as if you have not done your whole prophetic mission. Such a sensitive message, such a very, very warning message cannot be for the jurisprudential and secondary issues. Rather, it addresses the most significant topic, and that is Imama, and that who has to lead the Muslim community after the demise of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. So this theory, which is called in Arabic Nazariyatun Nasb, or the theory of selection, it goes counter to the theory of election. The Sunnite brothers do favor the theory of election. They believe that, firstly, the Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did not choose his successor. This issue was devolved and this issue was delegated to the people themselves. And it is the people who has to choose their leader. So the first caliph was chosen by the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. So if we ask them that why you do not believe in the theory of selection that our Holy Prophet has already chosen, and there are frequently narrated editions and narratives on the theory of selection, they say, as it was discussed in the previous sessions, that such kind of traditions go counter to the companions' justice. Why? Because they believe and they hold that since all the companions of the Prophet were just, it is hard to believe that all of them defied the Prophet's order that Ali alayhi salam is their imam and Ali alayhi salam is their leader. Since they defied, from this we imply, from their defiance we imply that it was not predetermined. It was not something already chosen by our Holy Prophet. We had a critical appraisal of the theory of justice of the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, in his household, saying that there are various verses of the Holy Quran that complain and that criticize the companions, I mean the Prophet's companions' works, actions, and words. We believe that if we try to justify our own particular political theory of election, we should not, or it should not entail our contradiction with the Holy Quran. And of course, some of our Sunnite brothers do not pay attention to this very delicate and sensitive issue. That sometimes, since they have, we can say, a very close connection with the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, this close relation or this, we can say, kind-heartedness entailed that they should go even against the Quranic verses. Because the Holy Quran do not absolutely and thoroughly or completely endorse or verify the companions' positions and stance they have taken during their life. For example, historically talking, there have been lots of war between the companions. So either of them were wrong. Otherwise, it seems illogical that both the righteous people should fight against one another. Or the wife of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, fought against Imam Ali alayhi salam. So it is impossible that two righteous people with two righteous stance, they have to stand against each other and shed the blood of thousands of the people. Since we do not believe that all the companions were just, we believe that some of them were indeed good people with high character. We do not disagree that some of them indeed were good. And due to this, always we, the Shi'ites, send greetings to such kind of companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who fought against the evil, who fought against the paganism, who fought and who accompanied the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in various wars. Because their actions and their deeds are praiseworthy. Beside these people, there are some that their works cannot be justified. They are blameworthy. So indeed, the clash they had with Imam Ali alayhi salam, or the segregation that was made on the early days of Islam, it was imbued with racial, ethnic, and tribal prejudices and biasness. For those who are seeking the truth, it is better that they have to be fully aware of all these issues. They have to be fully aware of all these we can say conflicts, so that the truth should be sought, so that they have to grasp fully the truth. Otherwise, they will not be able to grasp it fully. Another important point that should be added is this, that even when the first caliph was elected, again, it was not a very democratic process. A democratic environment and process was not prevailing over there while they chose the first caliph. Some of them were intimidated. There are historical evidence, and one has to go and see that. The first caliph, when he was chosen, of course, a great deal of the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, and his household did not accompany this election and this appointment. They did not accompany. There are a great number of the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who defied the first caliph. So there are two important doubts that our Sunnite brothers raise in this respect against the Shi'ites, that why you do not favor the theory of election the same as we do, or why you do not comply with the things we do as majority. So what are those important two doubts? The first is, the first doubt that has been unfairly promulgated and everywhere, if you go, if they try to give an introduction of the Shi'ites, they try to spread these fabricated stories, they try to introduce the Shi'ites with such blameworthy accusations. They accuse the Shi'ites that you people disrespect the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his household. Or some of them believe that the Shi'ites try to excommunicate the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his household. Indeed, as it was said, we do not excommunicate them, and we do not disrespect them either. Rather, we say that, let's study the Holy Quran. What can be the criterion for evaluation of the people's deeds? There are two important characteristics through which everyone's deeds and works can be evaluated. And that is what Almighty Allah has given us. There is no difference between the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the rest of the Muslims. But these two criteria must be observed carefully and with extreme heat. And they are faith and good deeds. Almighty Allah says in Surah Asr, Wal Asr, by the dawn, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Not only the companions of the Holy Prophet, not only Muslims, all the human beings. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. All the human beings are in total loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except those who have firm faith, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and do good deeds. They enjoy the truth and enjoy the passions. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, in regard with this accusation that is unfairly fabricated against the Shi'ites, we say that not only the companions of the Holy Prophet, but also all the human beings' actions and words and works can be evaluated by these two important criteria. And they are having firm faith on Almighty Allah, the revelation in the, we can say, chain of the prophets, and then doing good deeds. Making no difference, you have to be the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or not. Yes, companionship of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a virtue. But again, this virtue would double one's responsibility. The more he is careless about his responsibility, the chastisement he receives would be greater in amount, would be greater in size and scale, the same as the wives of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. That being wife of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a virtue. But if they derail, or if they do some bad actions, their punishment, their chastisement that they would receive from Almighty Allah, that would be greater than an ordinary Muslim woman. The same as the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. Companionship is a virtue, but itself lonely is not sufficient. They themselves should go and work harder and be more pious than the rest of the people, than the rest of the generations, such as us, for example. Because their companionship, the same as it is virtue, the same time it will be, or it would make their responsibility, their duty more sensitive. So the criteria that is taken or that is endorsed by the Shias, they are taken and they are derived from the Holy Quran. So if you criticize the Shias due to these criteria, so indirectly you criticize the Holy Quran. But of course, these criteria cannot be criticized, and you should be fair criticizing the Shias' perception of understanding or evaluating the companions' words and works. This is first. Secondly, the Shi'ites do not disrespect all the companions. Indeed, verily, we do not disrespect all of them. Secondly, the Shi'ites do not disrespect all the companions. Indeed, verily, we do not disrespect all of them. But if there are some companions whose actions are not based in accordance with the Quranic verses, so what should be done? Should we again praise them the same as we praise our Holy Prophet? Why we have to praise if their actions counter to the Quran and to the Quranic content? We do recite this verse of the Holy Quran, Inna as-sam'a wal-basara wal-fu'ada kullu ula'ika kana anhu mas'ula. Our eyes, our ears, our hearts, all would be held accountable. We do believe in this verse deeply, that whatever we say, whatever we pronounce, whatever we like, all of them would be held accountable in the doomsday. Almighty Allah would judge why you did this, why you did not do that. Our love and hatred, our love and affection, our dislike and hatred, all of them should be rotating around Almighty Allah's pleasure. So if there are people that they do not comply with the standard our Holy Prophet and our Almighty Allah has introduced us, then for sure we should not praise them extremely. Otherwise, we would face a bitter and a lethal aftermath. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, this was the first doubt and it is a response that we have offered you. The second doubt that our Sunnite brothers raise against the Shi'ites, they believe or they say that if the theory of selection was true, as you the Shi'ite people favor it, so why Imam Ali alayhi salam did not criticize the companions' actions? And why he did not say that it is my right that I have to be the Muslim leader? Since Imam Ali alayhi salam did not criticize the companion's actions, so it means or it implies that this theory is something fabricated by you, the Shi'ites, by a partisan of Ali alayhi salam, not by the Holy Quran or by Imam Ali alayhi salam. In another word, they say that if the theory of selection was true, so why Imam Ali alayhi salam did not stand and did not collect his companions against the first caliph? Why Imam Ali alayhi salam did not fight for the sake of his right? What was the problem? They say that if you Shi'at people say that the theory of selection is true, so why the Imam Ali alayhi salam did not follow this theory? Why Imam Ali alayhi salam did not raise his critical approach towards the first caliph, towards the theory of election? In response to this doubt, we believe that there are ample instances, there are ample places and there are ample cases where Imam Ali alayhi salam said that it was me who has to lead the Muslim, but my right was taken away, my right was usurped, I was deprived of my own right. There are ample places where Imam Ali alayhi salam criticized this condition. So, from this historical evidence, from these traditions, from these quotations, we draw this conclusion that the Sunnite brothers are not true in their words. Some of the Sunnite brothers are not having enough research in the historical documents. Had they had full research about Imam Ali alayhi salam's position in the theory of selection, they would have reached other conclusion. Because there are various places where Imam Ali alayhi salam said that it was me, I was supposed to be the Muslims' leader. It was our Holy Prophet who said that you will be my brother, and you are my heir, you are my successor. مَنْ كُنْتُ مَوْلَى فَهَذَا عَلِيٌّ مَوْلَى. To whomsoever I am master, Imam Ali alayhi salam is the master. The first case where Imam Ali alayhi salam said that it was me who was supposed to be the Muslim leader, it is after the Battle of Camel. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, فَوَاللَّهُ مَا زِلْتُ مَدْفُوعًا أَنْ حَقِّ مُسْتَأْثَرًا عَلَيَّ مُنْذُ قَبَضَ اللَّهُ نَبِيَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَوْمِ النَّاسِ هَذَا. By God, I'm always taken away from my right, and others have stolen my right. From the demise day of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him and his household, till today. And that day was the day that they had just returned from the camel battle. So this is the expression made by Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali alayhi salam did criticize this condition, that why you went towards the first caliph, why you people did not join me that we have to establish the Islamic State. This is the place where Imam Ali alayhi salam criticized the first caliph's deeds. It is not something that he was satisfied of the condition. If it was true that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did not appoint anyone for his successor, to be his successor, so what does this word of Imam Ali alayhi salam mean then? It should be baseless. It should be without any foundation. But since it was predetermined, Imam Ali alayhi salam complains Otherwise, his complaint would be meaningless. The second case, or in second place, where Imam Ali alayhi salam again criticized the condition, saying that I am deprived of my own right, he says, إِنَّ الْأَئِمَّةَ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ غُرِسُوا فِي هَذَا الْبَطْنِ مِنْ هَاشِمِ لَا تَصْلُحُ عَلَى سِوَاهُمْ وَلَا تَصْلُحُ الْوُلَاتُ مِنْ غَيْرِهِمْ. Imam Ali alayhi salam says that other than the Quraysh tribe, no other one deserves to be the Muslim leader. Or again, another tradition that says, إِنَّ الْأَئِمَّةَ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ, the first caliph's deeds contradicts with this tradition that has been transmitted from our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. The third place where Imam Ali alayhi salam complains, that is that he has written a letter to his brother Aqil. In this letter he says, فَإِنَّهُمْ قَدْ أَجْمَعُوا عَلَىٰ حَرْبِ كَإِجْمَاعِهِمْ عَلَىٰ حَرْبِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ قَبْلِ فَجَزَتْ قُرَيْشًا عَنِّي الْجَوَازِ فَقَدْ قَطَعُوا رَحِمِي وَسَلَبُونِ سُلْطَانَ ابْنِي أُمِّي. Imam Ali alayhi salam says that they have gathered against me as if they have gathered to fight against the Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, in his household. And I'm deprived of their right that has been given by the Prophet on behalf of Almighty Allah. The final place where he complained was that when he was chosen as the fourth caliph by the people, where the people came and wanted to give their allegiance to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam presented a sermon there. So firstly, he said these words that we were deprived, we were isolated, our rights were taken away from us, and right now you people have come to us. So all these words explicitly denote that Imam Ali alayhi salam had a critical approach towards the first caliph deeds and towards the companions, we can say approach that they choose other than Imam Ali alayhi salam. But the question arises, as this question has been repeatedly posed by our Sunnite brothers, so that why then Imam Ali alayhi salam kept silent, and why he came and gave his advices to the first caliph? For sure, this is another issue. Imam Ali alayhi salam did not raise to resist against them, did not ignite the flame of civil war amongst the Muslims, so that they have to be annihilated by the Islam enemies, by the Roman Empire, by the Iranians. So indeed, from various grounds, from different perspectives, we have to study why Imam Ali alayhi salam did not resort to his word, or why he did not fight against them to keep his right. He forsake due to all these expediences. Had not these expediences been there, he would have fought. But due to all these expediences and due to all the menaces that were threatening the whole Islam, the whole Quran, so Imam alayhi salam did not do. It does not mean that he was satisfied of this condition. No, he was not satisfied. But due to some socio-political expediences, and due to the security issues, due to all the menaces that were jeopardizing the whole Islam and the whole Quran, the whole revelation, Imam Ali salam kept silent and in various places proclaimed and declared his critical approach. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, finally, it should be mentioned that all these academic, we can say, debates or discussions are held so that we have to reach the truth. And the truth seekers should have all these horizons opened in front of them. And they should not think that there is only one unilateral recitation of the Islamic concepts. Moreover, indeed, if there are arguments that go counter to these, we are ready to receive them wholeheartedly, study them, and with logical and rational manner, we have to respond them. May God bless us all a happy life in this world and a happier life in the next. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. God bless you.